Save 20 to 30% off all plants at Turtle Bay's 33rd Annual Spring Plant Sale, featuring heirloom vegetables, hard-to-find perennials, shrubs, California natives, and more. The nursery specializes in drought-tolerant plants that thrive in Redding's climate. The members-only sale will take place on Friday, April 4th, 4 to 7 p.m., and the public sale will be held on Saturday, April 5th, 9 to 3 p.m. at 1100 Arboretum Drive. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
On great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Hey, welcome into the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and we're going to endeavor today to have a non-political conversation with one of the most political commentators in America. Glenn Beck.
That's horrible.
This should be fun.
One of those political, like,
this should be like, fun. Glenn, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. It's an honor to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you for the time, man. I feel like you and I are kind of kindred spirits. We were both shock jock morning guys at about the same time. And it's I know that you've been fired maybe as many times as I have.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe not.
I'd probably beat you.
It'd be very close. But you worked at WPGC in D.C.?
Gosh, yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I was 18 years old. 18 when I was working.
Oh,
there.
Were you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I got into radio when I was 13. Working at Cube in Seattle at 16, and then the company transferred me to the station in Salt Lake, and I was there for 6 months, and then they transferred me to WPGC in Washington, D.C.
Same company?
Same company. It was First Media, I think, at the time. Okay. That's what it was called.
Did you know Don Geronimo?
No. How did I cross paths with Don at some point, but I don't know where. Yeah.
Yeah, Don's a good guy. And the state of radio now, it's just so sad to me. And I hate to say that because I'm on a bunch of radio stations, as you are, but the state of, I don't know. I just had a buddy of mine that works here in Kansas City, Johnny Dare, had a morning show for 32 years. 32 years. Mm-hmm. And he was getting ready to retire until they just fired him.
Oh, you're kidding.
With no notice. They did give him a farewell show.
Wow, how big of them.
Which I never got.
Yeah. I'm still on radio, so I mean, but I have to tell you, I think I just got out of a meeting a second ago, and you know, I've been on the AI thing for about 30 years. I read a book by Ray Kurzweil called The Age of Spiritual Machines.
Oh wow.
And that came out in the 90s, and it'll turn your hair white. Because especially now, because it's here, it's right. We're right. As Musk says, we're at the event horizon of the singularity. It's coming, and there's no way to stop it now. But, you know, I was just saying to somebody the other day, or just a couple of hours ago, they said, Glenn, you know, I think, you know, people are going to be afraid of losing jobs, you know, in any industry. And I said, stand in line. I could lose my job, right. All of us. I mean, you know, this is going to change everything, yeah. Absolutely everything. And I don't think people really understand that. And radio has gone through this. I was with Clear Channel, which is now iHeart, and I joined them when I think they had 5 stations. And my contract for radio is with Premier, so I still work with them.
Right.
I started with them in 88 or 89, and been with them ever since. And I watched the dismantling of radio. And I remember Mark Mays, who was the head of Clear Channel at the time, he was my age. So I would go pick him up at the airport. I was running 3 of the stations, mainly in the ground, but I was running some of his stations, and I picked him up at the airport one time, and I said, you know, I know you're a businessman. You're a Harvard guy. And what you have to understand is radio, you get the next generation from the weekends. You get the next generation from the people who suck right now.
Right.
I sucked for years, and you work overnights and whatever. And if you cut all of that out, you have no farm team left.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Now they don't care.
I know, but there's no future without a farm team unless you're just going to pull unless you're just going to pull podcasters, because that's a farm team now.
Right.
You know, there's people out there doing podcasts that stink on ice.
Horrible.
And then podcasters that stink on ice, but you listen to them, you're like, I got to keep my eye on this one.
Mm-hmm.
This one is good. This one has potential.
Yeah.
And that's what radio used to do. So in some ways, the field is in better shape than it's ever been, because there's more chances for people to get on and fail and get on and succeed than ever before.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same. Not the same at all.
It's not. And I think you and I, at least with the morning shows, we were there at a great time in terms of just everything. I mean, creating your own universe. Coming up with original things that nobody else is doing. What was your favorite station doing mornings? Because you did some crazy stuff.
I think Baltimore.
Really?
Baltimore and Phoenix. Baltimore was just a rocket ride, and allowed me to just break all of the rules. Right. You know, when I was 16, and one of my mentors was a guy who had won Broadcaster of the Year from the NAB over and over again, and then he became, you know, Program Director of the Decade. And I was lucky enough to work with him, and he taught me so much. And I was on the air one day, and I did something that I had heard another guy do that I thought was really good, but it was breaking all the rules. And he calls me in and he said, what did you do? And I said, well, he said, why would you break that rule? I said, I thought it sounded really cool. And he said, tell me the rule and why that rule was there. And I said, I don't know. And he said, until you know why the rule exists, do not break a rule. Once you know why the rules are there, break them anytime, but you'll break them intelligently. You'll know why they're there, why to break them or not to break them, and how to break them and not do a disservice to the reason why the rule is there. I don't know why I'm telling you that story.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
You know, I went to Phoenix and Baltimore, and I was allowed to break the rules. And at that time, I knew why the rules were in place.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. I think my favorite experience, just because I was so young, and it was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I worked for a station called 96KX, and it was it, you know, to me, I was 19. It was the big time. I mean, it was the biggest of time. And, I met my wife there and, just a great time. Do you ever play Lick It for Tickets?
No, but it sounds like something I would have done and would have loved.
It was great. It was great.
We were both, I think, because I'm not sure we ever met, but I know you through, what was that called? Bitboard? Right? Did you were on
Bitboard. Yeah.
You were the guy I would look to all the time and go, what's he saying? What's he doing? I thought you were really, really, really good.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just think that, that golden age of radio, man, that was the time that you could break all the rules and just have some fun. And I know that, you know, Bruce Kelly, I've read some stuff about you and Bruce Kelly and Phoenix.
How do you know Bruce?
I was working in San Diego. And, as you probably know, in the summer, when it's so hot in Phoenix or in Arizona, they flock, you know, the zoners flock to San Diego. And so, we did a parody song about zoners and I sent it to Bruce and we kind of became friendly rivals. And one day I said, we should just swap shows, you know. And so, I flew to Phoenix and did his show, and then he came to San Diego and did my show. But, you've had some interesting times with,
You know, the stuff I think you might be referring to is absolutely a lie. Not true.
Is that right?
Not true. Not true. Don't even know how it started. Huh. I would have never done that. I was good friends with his wife. I would have never said that. Never said that. I mean, I've said a lot of bad things.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But I would have never done that.
That's more of
And it's
when I read that, I thought that's more of a man cow move.
Yeah, that's I would have I didn't do that, and I wouldn't have done.
Because I had.
But I mean, I gave Bruce one hell of a time.
Yeah.
I mean, we were fierce competitors.
Right.
In days when. You know, we were all arrogant enough to think that that's all that mattered.
Right.
Thanks to generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans and their families since 2003. Through no-cost physical and mental health services, legislative advocacy, career assistance, and life skill training, we're there every step of the journey.
It's possible to feel understood,
to get support when it's needed most.
And now I know anything is possible.
And we're just getting started. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
A cancer diagnosis changes everything. But at Valor Oncology, located right here in Reading, you'll never face it alone. At some places, you see a rotating door of doctors, unfamiliar faces who don't know your history. But at Valor, you'll see the same expert team, a team that knows you, your treatment plan, and your journey. We have a Harvard-trained oncologist, a highly skilled female breast surgeon, compassionate and experienced nurses and nurse practitioners, and an incredibly dedicated staff that genuinely cares for you and your family. Our cutting-edge technology rivals top universities, but it's right here in Reading. You deserve the best care and a team that stays by your side. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in Reading, focused on you. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation.
Shasta College will host the last of three workshops titled Getting the Outside Garden Ready and Preserving What You Grow. This workshop will be held April 26th from 1 until 3 p.m. at the Shasta College Farm in the Greenhouse. Workshop topics will include bed preparation for an amazing harvest, how to start composting, setting up irrigation, growing herbs, controlling weeds and bugs, canning basics. There will be a $5 charge to cover materials and seeds at each workshop. Master Gardeners are also sponsoring a plant swap after this workshop. A garden fair is also planned from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This family-friendly event will include garden activities for children, composting demonstrations, garden-related vendors, and basic gardening advice. For questions regarding this event, contact Lemoyne Waite at 530-242-2210 or contact Shasta College.
We're talking to Glenn Beck here on the National Defense. I think that's why radio is in the state that it's in now, because radio became arrogant. You know, when everything was popping up, like radio.com and Pandora and Spotify, these were all started by non-radio people. And it was because radio at the time said that we're radio.
They're going to beat us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
I think that's you know,
when Pandora came out, what was radio doing? Radio was like, yeah, well, we'll play more hits.
Right.
Well, you can't.
Right.
They don't have commercials. Right. You know, you can't play more than you can't play the song that the person wants to hear.
Right.
You know, right now you can't
on demand.
Right. Instead, yeah, they should have done what radio used to be good at, which is go find the talent that can make that show fascinating, different. You know, you're
right.
You know, I had a program director tell me once, he said, I was talking a lot and
play more music.
Said, yeah. But he said it the right way. He said, you know, I was listening to your half hour, and he said there were two stars on there. He said one of them was you. The other one was Billy Joel. When you have something better than Billy Joel, talk as much as you want. But if you're not more entertaining than Billy Joel, play Billy Joel. And I thought, that's fair.
It's pretty good.
Fair.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
I used to use that argument in advance or in reverse with program directors, and I would say the music that you play on this station is horrible. So anything I do is going to be better than what you got here.
Oh my gosh, we have so much in common in those days.
Oh, I know.
Exactly what I would say.
Well,
but you know what? It's weird. I mean, this is so inside. I don't know if anybody's listening, but what's weird is,
I love talking about this, by the way. I did the same thing with Hannity.
You know, one of the things is you look at our jobs, and like, it's worse now in my position. Thank God I'm old enough and have enough humility that I didn't have when I was younger. But you have to be convinced that you are right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah,
and the accolades and everything else and the honors and whatever that come in, it can feed you, and you have to be convinced that you're right to have the balls to get on radio and go, not telling you right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it's a really difficult thing to balance, because you also have to have the humility to go, but I could be completely
right. You know what I mean? But I think
I'm open.
I think you're also doing it for a different effect now. At least I am. I'm not trying.
I'm not really doing it that way anymore. It used to be very calculated for me.
Right.
Because it was an entertainment source only.
Sure.
And so it was very calculated. I'm not calculated anymore. In fact,
but I think
all my calculations are wrong.
I think I was calculated. That's what makes it so entertaining, I think, though, because people don't know always what to expect. And it's funny when I hear people talk about you. It's almost like, and I saw your interview with Kid Rock the other day. Outstanding.
So awkward.
Outstanding.
Really?
I thought it was outstanding. And
I was so, you know what it was? I have to tell you. And I said this on the radio the day after. I've never been more uncomfortable. I've talked to prime ministers, and tomorrow I've got a prime minister coming in. I've talked to everybody, okay? Kid Rock freaked me out. And I think it's because I felt like the nerd I have always been, and he's Kid Rock. And I just felt like I'm in the lunchroom and I'm about to be beaten up.
Yeah.
So it was so, for me, it apparently didn't come through, but for me, it was like the most awkward interview I've ever
seen. Really?
It was weird.
Oh, I thought it was great. I've never interviewed Kid Rock. Love to.
Nice fun. Nice guy.
But it was kind of like, I didn't expect the interview to go that way, because he was talking about how we can get together as a country and talk about things without being so polarized. And he's going to take Bill Maher to the White House. I love that. I just thought that was so refreshing. And so that's what I'm saying when I ask people about you. I think half the people I ask about you, they go, well, yeah, he's kind of middle of the road guy. And then the other half the people will go, what are you talking about? But I think you have that kind of persona. Would you agree with that?
I'm not sure I know what you mean. Let me answer it this way and see if it's right. See if this is what you're talking about. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I grew up in a time where everybody got along. Yep. You know, you don't talk politics.
Right.
I grew up in an alcoholic family. I hate that. This is the weirdest job for me to have because I got into talk radio to make fun of talk radio. I mean, watch my show on Fox. I'm making fun of cable news. You know what I mean? And I don't like confrontation because I was the peacekeeper in the family, with all the alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And I hate confrontation. And so between growing up in Seattle, where everybody was, hey, do your own thing. You know, I used to go to my friends and I in high school. We'd go to, I'd go over to a friend's house. I'll never forget. And right before we opened the door, she said, my parents are probably high in the living room. Just
disclaimer.
Move on. And I'm like, fine, I get it. And so we went in. They were just like, hey, guys, what are you doing? And we were the straight ones. They were the kids.
Right. Right.
It's just a different world up there. And I grew up just getting along and being able to, live in Seattle. And so because of that, I think I look at things different. I can talk to people if they'll talk to me.
Right.
I can talk to people in their own language in a way. You know, I'm a Mormon, so we're the Jews of Christianity. Nobody likes us. And
how many wives do you have?
What'd you say?
How many wives do you have?
Oh, I have 14.
Okay.
We only talk about one. We're not recording that. Anyway, I love going to other people's churches or synagogues. I love it. I love to see. I find it funny because I sit in there and I'm like, they all think they're so unique. And I'm like, about 99% we're all saying the same thing.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I love seeing how people worship, how they're different. I mean, I feel like the whitest white boy ever, but I used to go to Harlem to the same gospel church that Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston used to go to. I'd be the only white guy there.
Right.
But it was great. It was great. And so I like experiencing thing. I'm not somebody who's like, it's my way or the highway. The variety that everybody has, but that doesn't seem to be popular a lot of the times now.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, powered by Intel. Many of the award-winning laptops and desktops at this year's Consumer Electronics Show had one thing in common. They were all powered by Intel. Intel unveiled their amazing new family of processors, and the big takeaway is how they make AI more accessible for every user. Sam Safe from Intel has more.
And we'll start with the Intel Core Ultra Series 2 processors, which bring AI capabilities directly to your PC, unlocking personalized, efficient, and powerful experiences. We also underscored our Lunar Lake processors, which showcase our leadership in AI and energy efficiency for ultra-thin laptops. And then finally, we also provided a bit of an update on our Panther Lake family of processors, which leverage a brand new process for us and utilize Intel's 18A technology.
Panther Lake will be available for both laptops and desktops.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, powered by Intel.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
We're talking to Glenn Beck here on the National Defense. I think there are several schools of thought on what you do and how you say it. And I think it's all about how you say it, you know, in terms of whether you're open to hearing different points of view and that kind of a thing. And the reason that this show is non-political is because it's for active duty military veterans and their families. And, you know, when you got you got somebody in a foxhole next to you, man, you don't care what color they are.
You don't care about color or anything.
No, you don't care about any of that. And so that's why, you know, I started this show about 10 years ago. And anybody that comes on the show, that's just kind of the way we go, because the one thing we can all agree on is that we need to support the troops. That's the only thing that needs to be considered. And it still boggles my mind whenever there is any kind of a disagreement or a resolution or a bill that's going to help the troops that somebody denies. And I go, how can that possibly be in this country?
You know, I couldn't believe, you know, I said to my assistant, I said, why am I on the show about the troops? And they said, it's just, you know, they want to talk about your support for the troops. And I said, I think it's the other way around. I don't know if I've ever done anything for the troops. I know what they've done for me. I had a hard time thinking. The only thing, you know, and I don't know if you remember this, but when I first started doing talk radio, we were about to go to war in Iraq. Mm. And I had worked when I was probably 20. I had worked with a guy who was unbelievably talented, but alcoholic, cocaine out of control, mean as mean can get. Somehow or another, we were friends. And he was doing the morning show, and I was doing the morning show on the FM. He was on the AM, named Jim Lago. And we never really talked for a long time, but we'd be looking at each other through the glass, and it kind of felt like I knew him and he knew me.
Sure.
And I got to know him, and the reason why he was the way he was in some regard is Vietnam. He fought in Vietnam, and he came home, and it's when everybody was calling him baby killers and everything else. And he was very good at what he did. He was proud of his service, and he was good at what he did. And he came home, and everybody, you know, was doing what they were doing back then. And he walked into a job interview, and the guy looked at the paper, and he said, "So, you were in Vietnam." He said, "Yes, sir, I was." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry about that." And he said, "I'm not. I'm proud of my service." And that stuck with me, that he had told me back in the early 80s, we were never really welcomed home. We were never welcomed home.
Yeah.
And so when we were going to, and I determined at that time, if I'm living in a time where there is a war, I'm not going to be a part of doing that to anybody who is fighting for my country.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And doing stuff that I wouldn't do or would be. Hey. I'd be the guy on the steps. You remember Saving Private Ryan?
Right.
And that one guy goes up and he can't go and he's hearing all the stuff going and he just, I think he wets his pants. I'm convinced that's who I'd be. You know, I'm just like, back when we went into Iraq right before, I did something called the Rally for America.
Oh, yeah, I didn't remember that.
Right?
Yeah.
And the whole point of that was, I don't care what side you're on. I don't care if you're for the war or against the war. Right. I don't care if you voted for Bush or Kerry. I don't care any of that. The decision now has been made. Even if we're disagreeing with it, right, the decision has been made to put these people in harm's way. We now must pledge to each other that we're not going to do that when they come home, that we will support them. And we can argue in Congress. We can argue at the ballot box. But we support them, and we never abandon them. And I'm sad to say, Not as bad as we did in the 60s, but I feel we did the same thing.
Definitely, definitely in Afghanistan. And,
oh, my gosh, that was the worst thing.
And you know, the other thing that we always try to let people know on this program is that nobody in the military is for the war, ever. Ever. And, you know, but it's less than 1% that raise their hand. And I started this show 10 years ago with a Vietnam vet that was the assistant adjutant general of the VFW, Jerry Newberry. Rest in peace. He passed away last year. But same kind of story, Glenn. I think this is true of that generation, number one, that on Veterans Day, when you get the free everything, which you should, absolutely should, he would never take it. Never take it. I would beg him. Let's go to this dinner. Let's go to the steakhouse and you get a free steak. Oh, nope. That's for somebody else. And I just think it's that mentality, number one, why a lot of people serve, but
I've met who I think are real, true heroes, and every single one of them will say, "I'm not a hero," and they mean it.
Oh, I mean it.
It's like, no, dude, if you're not one, I don't know what one is.
We had a guy about a month ago. This guy was burned over 80% of his body in an IED, and it's 22 surgeries, whatever. He's now a stand-up comedian. He does stand-up, and he calls himself the well-done comic, and his name's Bobby Henrein. He is hysterical. But it's that kind of person. I mean, who is that? It's not me.
No.
I'd crawl into a hole and never come out again.
I know.
It's just and it's amazing too when we have different celebrities on the show, and people say, well, what's their connection to the military? Sometimes it's outstanding because they've never been asked about their connection to the military. Alec Baldwin, his dad was a drill sergeant. Tom Hanks has been on the program four times. He's the chairman of the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, Hidden Heroes program for, veteran caregivers. Who knows that? You know, and that's, and it's always like.
You need to have Siege Steele on. Have you had her on yet?
No.
So I just did an interview with her just a couple of days ago. She's fantastic. But her dad was the first black, I can't remember what position it was, but the first African-American on to play for West Point.
Really?
And, yeah, crazy on the football team. But the honor in her that comes from her parents and her dad, and she grew up on military bases. You'll love her.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hello, Detroit. It's the Ford Motor Company. This city has changed a lot over the last century. So has America. And we wouldn't have been around for this long if we didn't turn that change into progress. We've pledged to make our most iconic vehicles electric, to provide access to North America's largest public charging network, to use 100% renewable energy across all global manufacturing plants by 2035. And we couldn't have done it without the thousands of Detroiters working with us to turn progress into a reality. We're proud to be built for America. We're even prouder to be built by Detroit. And though we've helped give the Motor City its name, the Motor City has given us our legacy. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Based on original equipment manufacturers, automotive manufacturers that sell all electric vehicles and have publicly announced charging networks. Department of Energy data used. Ford Pass compatible with select smartphone platforms is available via download. Message data rates may apply.
Hey, of course you know as a veteran, you understand how crucial it is to be connected to loved ones, and T-Mobile is committed to helping our community stay connected. With exclusive wireless plan discounts, T-Mobile offers the best price for military and veteran families versus Verizon and AT&T. Beyond the savings, T-Mobile is proud to be a military-friendly employer and has hired 10,000 veterans and military spouses, and they're not stopping there. Just head to T-Mobile.com/military-discounts to learn more about their commitment and how military families get the best price with T-Mobile.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday State right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
In the Trump administration, part of the National Security Council, and just a great, great military guy, and retired. And I said, what would it cost to go over and get those people? And he said, I don't know. It was a Monday. And he said, I don't know. Let me think about it. I'll call you. And I said, okay, call me as soon as you can. So he calls me Wednesday. He's on the air with me. Hmm. And I had no idea what his answer was. And I said, we've got to go get those people out. The Americans that are there, the people that served with the Americans, we got to get them out, at least away from the Taliban. And I said, so I called him up a couple of days ago, and I don't know if it's even doable. How much would this cost? And he said, Glenn, I think about 20 to 25 million. And my everything, I just immediately was like, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah. We had to do it by Friday. We had to get going by Friday. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen.
I mean, a few car washes. Said,
what'd you say?
A few car washes, fundraisers.
Yeah, you can do that. And so I said, not believing that it could happen, I said, well, it's up to you, the audience, if you want to do this. I'm horrified. And we don't know what we're doing, but he does. And I know we can get the planes. We'll just go rent airliners, and we'll bring them over there, and we can get it. And by Monday, we had $45
million. Oh, wow.
Wow. We were the ones. There were all these other people. Everybody has their own puzzle piece.
Sure.
Ours was the plane. Okay. And so we had, if you see pictures of any of the tarmacs at that time, all the commercial planes were all ours. We had flown them in. Yeah. And so
I wondered about that.
Yeah. We flew 23 or 22,000 people out.
Wow.
Here's why I'm telling you this story. Two things. The people who died at Abbey Gate, I have a hard time telling this story because this one hits so close to home. The people who died at Abbey Gate that were trying to get out that were Afghanis, and most of them were women and children. It was my team and me that told them, go to the gate, and we're going to get you in. So they all went to that gate because we told them to, having trust in our own government. By the time we figured out, I got a call, and they said, Glenn, something's wrong. Something's coming at the gate. And I said, tell them to go away. Tell them to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had already come, you know, through the terrorists that wanted them all dead, and they started telling them, you got to get away from the gate. Get away from the gate. And then they were blown up. And it was the guys that were at the gate in uniform that were trying to help get those people in, mm-hmm. but it was the damn State Department that shut everything down.
Yep.
It was the State Department. Two things happened with the State Department that every American should know. They would not allow us to bring anyone out at all. We were going out with teams and other people. We were just helping them, you know, and their teams going out. All these great charities all worked together. Nobody cared who got the credit. And so they're risking their life. And we're hiding and playing a shell game with all of these people on the ground. Keep them alive.
Yeah.
And the State Department kept saying to us, well, you need this paper. They need this paper. They need this paper. Okay. And that went on for like 3 days. And finally, we get all the paperwork. I'm on the phone with the State Department in Washington, D.C. And we said, okay, what's the problem now? We have all the paperwork you asked for. This guy said, well, you need form 1174B. And I'm like, what? I look at my team and I'm like, what one is that? And he said, well, it's a new one. Okay, where do we get that one? Well, you're going to have to get it at the embassy in Kabul. I said, you shut the embassy down 4 days ago. He laughed and said, well, you're just going to have to figure that out then, aren't you? And hung up the phone. When that happened to me, I had to go right on set for a show. And I said, I have to tell you, I can't tell you now what just happened, but what just happened, I want to renounce my citizenship. If this is who we are, I cannot comfortably be American anymore. I was just so shocked by it all. So finally, we got them to agree to let the planes take off. Here's the worst part. They allowed us to take off with people who had served our military and helped them the whole time, all legitimate people, but only if our first plane were the military members that our government left behind, our military members. So our first plane was cleaning up the mess that our State Department and our White House. But we were all so horrified by this. We took military members out. That should have never happened. How do we leave people behind? And I'm not even talking abstract. These are the people who helped our military.
Right.
These were our people, and we left them behind.
And it's a remarkable story, and I want to thank you for all those efforts. The stories that I hear.
You know that. That's not why I told the story.
No,
need to know.
No, absolutely.
How horribly wrong we were.
Well, and right after that, with this show, it was so sad to talk to the men and women who served over there, thinking that their mission was something that was very, very important, and to later understand themselves, true or not, that the mission didn't mean anything. And that's heartbreaking.
I don't know how. I mean, the veterans, I work with a lot of veterans on my show, and I don't know how they kept it together, you know.
They were so angry.
They were like,
oh, yeah.
My friends
right.
died?
Right.
For what? For
exactly.
what?
Exactly. Yeah, that horrible. Was, that is horrible. Well, let's talk about, I wanted to talk about the Blaze Network and when that came about, because it's gigantic. And I really, honestly, as a radio guy, I can't figure out where you're coming from. I see you on every screen. I see you on toasters. I see. I know you're somewhere in Texas sometimes, yeah. But it's kind of you've really managed to pull off. Kind of this incredible array of different media outlets.
It shows how desperate America is for entertainment, doesn't it? That I could be successful. I mean, I know.
No, I mean, just you know, just I know how hard it is to be on one station, but to have you know, to be on all these different different ways of accessing your program and your content is just remarkable.
Well, thank you. I was at Fox, and I had been at CNN, and I was only at Fox. I was at Fox a total of like two and a half years, but I was a year into it, and I remember sitting in my office, and I had these three television monitors of the three cable networks, and my staff was in there, and we're in the middle of something, and I look up those monitors, and I said, by the way, gang, just want to share, we have got to get out of here because all three of those are going to burn themselves to the ground. There is just this is not going to last. And so I left Fox, and I mean, I'm a guy who has always believed risk big, win big.
Right.
Risk big, lose big.
Sure.
Know the odds before you put your money down on the table. And I didn't know what the odds were going to be. It just felt right. And I partnered with Major League Baseball because they were the only ones that had the backbone. I mean, we started the Blaze, a fully digital network online before Netflix was still sending movies out by U.S. mail.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, our biggest problem was buffering. You know, it'd be like,
oh,
and
right.
I want to tell you about, and buffer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was a million years ago in
right.
technology
right.
Years. But it worked, and I'm just right now talking to my staff about, I feel exactly the same way I did then. I think people don't understand in the next 18 to 36, 48 months, by the time we have a new president, technology is going to change everything so dramatically that if you're not at least in the train station today, the train's about to take off and it's an express and there's no stops. You're not going to get on the train. You have to understand the world is about to completely change. And so we're in these times now, like I was back then, of you either need to redesign, refigure, and figure out what the future is, or you're just going to be left in the past because this doesn't work. What's happening, even with the new, you know, even with the Blaze platform and Daily Wire and everything else, it doesn't work. It's not settled enough for the next disruption.
Glenn, listen, man, we can't thank you enough for taking the time. It's just
what a pleasure to see you.
Well, it's been fun catching up to you, and obviously very excited to see what this next iteration of everything is going to be, and where you fit into it. So,
great to see you.
Yeah, great.
Please stay in touch.
Great to see you. Absolutely, man. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense. This 60 Seconds of Service is presented by T-Mobile. T-Mobile offers exclusive discounts for veteran and military families and are proud supporters of the National Defense Network. Visit T-Mobile.com/military to learn more about how they support our military community. In Phoenix, a new VA mobile medical unit is bringing health care to homeless veterans across the valley that is providing incredible results. The new state-of-the-art unit, launched 6 months ago, has provided care to over 400 veterans this year. Staff focuses on assisting veterans with medical care, mental health support, vaccinations, and more. The program has reduced ER visits, prevented hospital readmissions, and ensured that those who have served our country receive the proper care they need and deserve. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.